Welcome to Analytics of Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Turning into some successful picks, right? Talked about the misses in the last show and talking about now some of the successful ones. So a lot of these actually revolve around quarterback. And I'll be honest, with the growth of Superflex, I'm really happy that I think we're getting some of the stuff right here, right? And I think a lot of it is just it's pure numbers and being willing to go the other way on some of these things and just be different than the market. I think there's a lot of value in it. So I'm really, really excited. The more Superflex grows, I think that there's certainly some things here that we have edges on and are willing to be contrarian and willing to be, you know, not popular. And that's fine, right? And that's actually what makes value. So Sam Darnold's, these aren't in any particular order, but talking about quarterbacks first, Sam Darnold coming into the season, 47% base rate, dropped to 11% if he missed. So we knew he was sort of on the precipice. He's going to be 24 after missing this year. This is not a good season for him. It's 3.6 percentage points under expectation in terms of completion percentage. That's CPOE, so that's not good. 33rd out of 36th in on-target throws. That is at 72%, the quarterback's worse than him, Dwayne Haskins, Carson Wentz, Drew Lock. Seventh in pressure rate, it was at 27.1%. That's the same as Justin Herbert. And so when you think about that, right, that's one of the things, hey, you sort of forgive him. But there was a lot of quarterbacks up there. I mean, Herbert wasn't making those excuses. And honestly, he's pressured on 27.1% of throws. There's 72.9% still there that he's not pressured on. So, that is some of the stuff there that really has me concerned. It's a drop basically across the boards in all of his stats. He's not a good quarterback at this point in his career. And I know that there's some optimism. I know that there's some hope for him. But even when you look at some of the gay stuff, right? Some of the gay stuff is really the narrative on him. But when you actually look at his stats, it's not good. It is just not good. He's regressed basically across every statistical area in terms of AYA. Again, that's adjusted yards per attempt. In the short stuff, he's much worse on both the outsides. He's actually better deep right by a marginal amount. He's negative deep down the middle, and you know the only real place that he's gotten better are, you know, the deep right side of the field and the short middle. Outside of that, everything is worse than his first 2 years by a pretty significant margin. So just a pretty big downtick there just in terms of some of the zone stuff. I think that's interesting. And then when you look at it, I mean, the touchdown rate's down. Again, that's fluky year over year, but a 2.4 this year. Yards per attempt at 5.9. He was a 6.9 guy earlier on in his career, both years, right? So he's at 6.6 for his career. Even those 6.9 numbers, right? That's not good, right? You need to be up in the sevens, into the mid sevens to really do, to really be on a good track. And he's hasn't been there, and he's regressing. So I'll say, like, as a potential buy low guy, I sort of get the idea, but again, that's a, 10, 11% base rate? I mean, that's a 1 in 10 shot. And, you know, as he traded, we'll see. I mean, the age stuff, people keep pointing to the age stuff for him. Yeah, I understand that, but now he's on the wrong side of even being a hit, right? Like, the average hit has already occurred. First hit has already occurred, and he's on the wrong side of that. So I get that he's young, but the guys that are good are young, are good this young. So Kirk Cousins is the next one. Just some of the stuff is pretty remarkable here. And looking up some of his stats, his AYA with Justin Jefferson, it was actually two adjusted yards better than Stephon Diggs. That's just Justin Jefferson's just remarkable year. Diggs is up after he's left Cousins. I'll say there's some narrative out there, and I got stuck in Facebook, Dynasty Facebook, this past week, and it was an experience, but one of the things that was said was Kirk Cousins is just terrible. He can't support Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's like a top six wide receiver this year. It's by far the best, way outpacing Stephon Diggs in terms of some of the efficiency stuff. and he's at quarterback 11 on the season. So he's actually number one in completion percentage over expectation. That's 4.7% better than expected. Fourth in on-target throws, according to Pro Football Reference. Fifth in yards per attempt. And yeah, it's just he's 15th in terms of total attempts, right? So there's some, I think a lot of his value stuff is because of the low attempts, right? The full season starter is really behind him. Bridgewater is behind him, would be above him, but he played one less game. Mayfield, Tannehill, Lamar, Cam. Those are really the guys behind him. So in terms of pure pocket guys, Tannehill's there and Mayfield as well, but they're and Bridgewater would be over him if they played the full allotment of games. But Lamar and Cam are runners. It's just such a run-first focus. And he's been good. It is a question of the volume, right? And so when it's low volume, you can get some of that inconsistency week to week just because that's what happens on low volume. But I think Kirk Cousins, especially for a super flex target in his range there, he's going to be a target again. He's due $31 million with a $41 million dead cap hit in 2021, so he's not going anywhere. It's a $45 million cap hit in 2022. That is 10 of that's dead. 35% of it's actually savings. So in 2021, he's not cuttable or anything like that. I wouldn't expect him to be. 2022 might be one of those scenarios where it's maybe a restructure or extension, something like that. But again, he's going to be 34, and I think he's playing undervalued. So that would be the key thing there. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, this is not a hard one. He's the top six quarterback thing is very real, right? You bet on those guys, and there's fluctuation for sure. Just a huge comeback season in terms of some of the low efficiency stuff. He was a top 12 guy the past 2 years, and everyone's talking that he was, in a casket or something. I haven't quite understood the narrative on him. And again, there's so much flukiness that goes on. I'll just point to one stat in terms of flukiness: 27 touchdowns inside the 10-yard line. And he that led the league by a couple of touchdowns. He was second in the league in terms of attempts inside the 10 with 46. So he converted more than half of those for touchdowns. So again, you just look at how this touchdown rate can really fluctuate from year to year. That's a good example of it. And when you have a guy who's a really good quarterback and he's going up high historically as a finisher, but there's some discount there because of some of the stuff that's happened in recent years, right? That's a pretty good bounce back candidate just on variance alone. So that would be one of the things there. I mean, he's locked into contract as well, and for probably a couple of years here, and might have an MVP season. So I'm full wheels up on him. We'll see where he sort of fits in, but if he's going to be around 10, something like that, in startup drafts, because I think some of these young guys might. It's going to be a debate. Who do you take, Herbert or him, right? Who do you take, Burrow or him, right? Lawrence or him, and all those things. I mean, it's going to be an interesting debate there. Lamar Jackson's the other one. And like I said, a lot of these are quarterbacks just because I think there's some easily identifiable stuff that's really low-hanging fruit that I don't think the market, we in the analytics, the dynasty community, are pretty on and pretty savvy to. I don't think the market in general appreciates some of this stuff. And so this is just another classic one. So Lamar Jackson, 9% touchdown rate in 2019. That is like 3 standard deviations outside the average. So he's at 6.4 this year. So that's a pretty big drop in terms of the touchdown stuff, as expected, right? That's what you would expect. If you sort of average all of his 3 years together, he's about a 6% touchdown guy. I think he's right about where he's at is where he is this year. It's about on his career average. So again, not huge sample size, but is there something about him that's above, that's above the baseline? Maybe it's some of the the play action stuff. That could be it. That there's some things to think that, hey, maybe he's actually at just a higher touchdown rate because of the mobility, right? All of those things. I'm willing to be open to that, but he wasn't a 9% guy, and he's never going to be a 9% guy consistently, right? Is there a season that he could do that? Yes. Is it likely to happen again? I don't know, maybe 1 or 2% shot. But outside of that, not really. I'll say one thing that did surprise me, a ninth in terms of intended air yards per throw, 12th in terms of completed air yards per throw, so he's not getting all of that out of it, but he is being aggressive down the field, 22nd in terms of on target throws, that's 76.2%, and negative 0.3 in terms of completion percentage over expectation. So that is the passing stuff. Again, there's I think some left to be desired there, and we wonder how much growth he can actually have. I think that's a narrative that I think has some teeth. The rushing stuff, almost about 3/4 of a yard per carry drop and yards per attempt. He was at 1206 last year, 908 this year. Again, he's played less games because of the COVID stuff, and he was out. 7 touchdowns both seasons. So I think a lot of the season is the lesser games, but it's really the touchdown rate. He dropped from 7.8 yards per attempt to 7.4 this year as well. So, okay, next one is Josh Jacobs over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I actually wrote this up, and I was in the Analytics of Dynasty group me tonight talking about some stuff. And it's funny because I was editing, and I had my editor, and we were talking about one of my editors. I have a couple of them. But we were we did a Skype thing, and usually we're in the same room, and we spend like – a lot of time together between like maybe the week before Christmas and call it like Martin Luther King Day. Like that time span, we spend just a ton of time together. It's always in the same room. It's usually in the basement of his apartment building. He's got a really nice lounge down there. So we usually hang out in there, you know, and do this and drink an exorbitant amount of coffee and, you know, try and figure out what the final product's going to be on Analytics of Dynasty. So this year it's virtual, and we're sitting here talking, and I'm just getting – sometimes the writing process can be very dry or difficult, or you sort of write but you miss the big picture, right? Like you – and I've told both my editors, hey, you need to sort of be on the lookout for, you know, big themes. Like what would you say about this, right? Because that's something that sometimes I can lose as being the author of it or the writer of it. You can just sometimes lose grasp of the bigger stuff. But one of the things that I wrote a specific chapter about rookie values in the Analytics of Dynasty in 2021 because of Josh Jacobs and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And so, and I'll just go ahead and read it to you. The idea of this chapter began in 2020 offseason as I was trying to decide how to rank Josh Jacobs versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They both had similar profiles. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. Both were first round NFL draft picks, less productive and less athletic than typical first-round profiles, but entered the NFL at 21 years old. It's a critical fact that distinguished them. Jacobs produced a rookie season hit while Edwards was a rookie. A simple way to analyze the two was to use their prior profiles or previously situated players from the past to see the career arcs. Jacobs' profile was the first-round rookie season hits entering year two. The Edwards-Helaire profile was all first-round rookies. These two profiles presented a great starting point to compare Jacobs and Edwards-Helaire over the next three seasons, right? So grading them on the same three-year time span, if you were sort of deciding at the same point. And then I have a chart, and it is Jacobs' profile only missed 19% of the time over the next 3 years, right? Given the fact that you knew he had hit, what was those priors look like? So 19%. Better than 4 out of 5 had hit at least once. The Clyde Edwards-Helaire miss rate, 29%. When you sort of take it out and look at really the depth of those hits or the eliteness of those hits, that's really where the difference is. So the difference in ceiling is also stark, as 38% of the Jacobs profile hits were for the next three seasons, right? So if you knew that a rookie had hit from the first round in his rookie season, 38% of them hit for the next three seasons, all three of them. The odds that a rookie does that without the prior hit, you know, just entering his career as a rookie, hitting for his first three seasons, 14%. Right. So when you just sort of look at that, it really shapes a huge difference. And the difference in warp, one warp between the Jacobs profile and the Edwards-Helaire profile. So that was pretty clear to me that I didn't have a a very good reason to go away from that, right? That's sort of the base rate scenario. I didn't have a good reason to go away from it. And I sort of thought about this a lot, figured out how to sort of write it, spent a lot of time writing it and, you know, doing that research and doing all those things in the off season. And that's one that I'm pretty proud of in terms of framing of that analysis there. So, pretty interesting in terms of all of it. 10% chance higher than that they hit two or more times for the Jacobs profile than the Edwards-Lehrer profile. So yeah, that's pretty much it. And that's a pretty big difference there between the two of them. And Jacobs finishes with a better season than Clyde Edwards-Lehrer. Edwards-Lehrer disappoints, and you know I that shouldn't have been surprising. Some of the stuff about Edwards-Lehrer with the I've talked about this enough, but the you know, the projection that he was going to come in and be Brian Westbrook, right? They spent $750 million on their offense in terms of their passing game. Brian Westbrook had, like, the best he had might have been like Todd Pinkston outside that TO year. I mean, there are at least three guys on the Kansas City Chiefs that are better than anyone that Brian Westbrook played with outside of that short time with TO. So that was always interesting to me, that comp. But that said, I think Clyde Edwards-Lehrer is actually going to be of value in startup drafts because he fits in that Jacobs bucket, right? We sort of know now, and I think it'll be interesting. But again, Jacobs is on a really good track, and so is Edwards-Lehrer now that they both hit. But you sort of look at you go back to that decision-making process and you take Jacobs over Edwards-Lehrer. I think you do that similarly here, right? If Edwards-Lehrer is a starter and, you know, I don't know, Najee Harris, who pick the guy, right? It's a first round draft pick. You have to take Edwards-Lehrer over him, right? That's the prior. Other thing was load up on backup running backs. How about these? Gio Bernard, running back 25 on the season. Again, some of these are asymmetric, right? It's not just, a smooth number here, but I'm just sort of ballparking this. Gio, running back 25. He was like 20th round of startup drafts. Mike Davis, later than that, running back 11. Chase Edmonds, running back 23. Latavius Murray, 32, without even playing, as you know, without even Kamara missing time. It's remarkable. Gallman, 35. Jeff Wilson, 37, leads them in rushing. Gus Edwards, this is a sneaky one that I don't think anyone's going to know, 38. Jamal Williams, 39. Tony Pollard, 40. Right, so those all had, at different periods of time, had impact. Again, maybe the least impactful one was Gus Edwards. But all the rest of those guys, you had, and there was a couple of Latavius Murray weeks where you kind of knew to start him with the Taysom Hill stuff. His start rate ticked up, but that didn't really happen for Edwards. But Edwards kind of accumulating again. He's crushing in terms of yards over expectation. He's a really interesting throw-in candidate on the back end of rosters in trades and stuff and startup drafts this offseason. And he's a classic one too, right? If you're making a rookie pick trade, right? If you're going to trade down, sort of move around the board, like, he's the type that no one's going to put up a stink about, including in a deal. And that's how you sort of can extract more out of him. Okay, turn it into a couple of receivers here. Mike Evans, wide receiver 11. He's the number one wide receiver in Tampa Bay. Everyone wrote him off, inconsistent, all that stuff. Yeah, there's a ton of touchdowns. Yeah, it looks a little bit different. Hey, are we going to project some regression? Probably. But like, he did it kind of when he was banged up, right? It was a changing quarterback, all that stuff. And he still comes out with top 12 season. Right. So I think you take all of that. That's a pretty successful season. Godwin fades, right? You take that longevity, you take that density, and you just ride it. And you sort of ignore about all the other stuff. You know, one of the things in the group me chat that was really interesting was someone mentioned that base rates are basically the silhouette of a painting. I analogize it to a house. Right. So if you know, and I talk about this in the Analytics Dynasty, if you know where the house is, right, if you know physically where it is on Earth, if you know the layout of it, right, what it, the size of it, the bedrooms, the square footage, right, all that stuff. And, you know, those two things, right, you kind of have an idea of what its value is, right? Just those couple of things can sort of narrow it down for you, right? You know, 3,000 square foot house, and you know, on the beach, and you know, in Florida, right? That's gonna be a good number, right? 3,000-foot house in, you know, in the hood, right, in Syracuse, is going to be a different number, right? So, like, those things, knowing those things and all that, like, that's pretty easy stuff. And that's kind of – and then all the other stuff is moves it, right? Like, so the – you know – what the, you know, what the flooring looks like, the carpets, the, all the vanity stuff, right? All the cosmetics, right? The, all that stuff, like all that glitz and glamour, that'll move it, right? But you need to start from, hey, where's this house located? And where's all that stuff, right? All of the beautiful, you know, ornate decorations might look great, but if the house is in Chernobyl, right, it's not really going to do it. So that's really the thing when you look at these guys, you have to, that's a huge part of why I would think Evans over Godwin, right? And honestly, like Juju over Godwin this year, or you know, as sort of long-term guys, we'll see how that turns out. But when you sort of know a lot more about the base rate, about the player, and, you know, there's some glitz and glamour to it, but I think you got to go back to the fundamentals, and Evans is one of those. And again, is it fluky? Am I right for the wrong reason? Maybe. That could actually be true. But he puts up a career year in terms of touchdowns, right? When you're sort of a wide receiver one on your team, those things can happen. So maybe I'm right for the wrong reason on that one, but I think it's interesting. Will Fuller is the other one. Wide receiver 30 on only 11 games. Again, you play high variance, right? It was a pretty big impact. 53 receptions, 879 yards, 8 touchdowns. Like I said, wide receiver 30 on only 11 games. His offseason valuation is going to be interesting. He'll miss, I believe it was a 6-game suspension, so he's going to miss the first game of the 2021 season. But we'll see. Free agency is going to be really interesting there with him. You know, is it kind of a front-loaded guarantee schedule? Kind of looks a little bit like Brandon Cooks' contract could be interesting, where it's like cuttable after a couple of years with no dead money. Okay, and Hayden Hurst is the other one. He was going pretty high. People had him pretty aggressively. And, you know, again, I like the profile. It's interesting. But, again, I was just cashing out at second-round rookie picks where he was tight end two. And this is just playing warp, right? It was like an easy, you could get a second. Or you could get even second plus in some spots or use him as a move-up piece, right? I did a lot of that with him. And because I had a lot, you know, he was really cheap, and you could get the profile. It was nice. But he finished as wide receiver 2015, so that's, you know, that's fine, right? That's where he's at right now. Anyways, we'll see after week 17 finishes. But that's where he's at. You know, that's okay. But that's not really second round rookie pick moving value, anything like that. So, so I felt that one was a good play there. That was a tactic I did quite a bit of. So. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. It's some of the things that I got right and sort of looking at the process again. I'm not, you know, Mike Evans, some of these are, that one in particular might be right for the wrong reasons. But yeah, I think ultimately I'm really excited about how we're analyzing quarterbacks, like really excited. And I got a lot more I'm going to dig into. There's some really good data out there, some good stats. You know, I think I have some more places to find value that I've looked into. So I'm really excited about that. Probably cut an episode here. I'm waiting to do some of the full season stuff just so that I have the full season data after this week 17 closes out. I think you'll probably be listening to this on Sunday. So in the next few days here, some of the stuff will be opened up, and I got a thing on, we'll talk about the draft and all that stuff. So by the way, if you are having problems logging into the site, I have heard those things. I'm not going to post anything big right now. Like I said, I want to wait until the stuff closes out. Same thing with rookie stats. So what I don't want is to keep bumping around some of the rookie stuff. We still have some games left to be played for quarterbacks and guys that are important, national championship stuff, and bowl game stuff. So I'm not going to sort of start posting that stuff and I have to move it. As a consumer, that was like my least favorite thing. So right now we're going to focus on stuff as it kind of finishes. And we're going to focus on, for the next few, weeks or so here, right? The initial part of this offseason for me is going to focus on recapping 2020 with an eye towards 2021, right? So things we can exploit, trying to understand what happened, understand where we sort of stand and sort of how we can go forward on that. Because I think it's really, really critical to grasp that and to then be able to make decisions based on all of that, right? So, you know, understanding some of the stuff about why Matt Ryan is falling and some of the metric stuff, right? Why is that? That's really interesting to me, and I think it's really valuable. And if people are going to just dive into rookies right now, that sort of leaves, you know, zigging while everyone's zagging, right? Being in a contrarian mind space, this is one of the things that I think continues to provide us value. So we will get to rookie stuff, no doubt. No doubt we'll have a lot of rookie stuff, talk a lot about rookies. But I think right now, to understand what happened, it'll allow us to make good startup draft picks and good trades kind of before people are on it. One of the things I think we see, that I see a lot, is what'll happen is you'll get guys that are sort of in the off season, early in the off season, they'll be in one spot, and then sort of as the redraft market gets going, you know, people start looking at some of the efficiencies and some of that stuff, and it'll move the market. In, you know, June, July, August, right? Even into September, you'll get some of the stuff and they'll say, wait, you know, I'm not sure on, you know, Lamar Jackson's profile for last year or something like that. You know, I'm not really sure, you know, and then you sort of, you see a market move. And if we can sort of be ahead of that, right? I think just focusing right now, not getting into the trap of just doing what everyone else is doing, we sort of flip the script. We can sort of be on the right side of that and make deals when people aren't focusing on it. So I think that's a big one, because you're going to hear all the podcasts and everything start turning towards rookie drafts. Let's take some time, actually digest what happened, think about profiles, and get going on. So like I said, there's not going to be any postings. I'm working with my provider to get the thing fixed. There's some problems with some email communications and stuff. If you're hearing this, you're probably not having those problems, but you know, if there is problems or something logging in, know that I am working on it, and it's a provider side problem that we're trying to fix here. So then hopefully maybe by the time you hear this, it'll be fixed and we can just ignore it. So, but should be coming up here in the next few days to get that all fixed and whatnot. So, all right. Well, until next time, continue embracing the variance. Happy New Year, and we will talk again very soon.